We now turn to a man considered to be one of the best prosecutors in this country. In his career at the L.A. County District Attorney's Office, he successfully prosecuted 105 of 106 felony jury trials, including 21 murder convictions without a single loss. Alan Dershowitz calls him as good a prosecutor as there ever was, and the legendary F. Lee Bailey calls him the quintessential prosecutor. His most famous trial, the Charles Manson case, became the basis of his classic book, Helter Skelter, the biggest selling true crime book in publishing history. Two of his other books, And the Sea Will Tell and Outrage, also reached number one on the New York Times bestseller list.
Today we're joined by the renowned lawyer and author Vincent Bugliosi. His latest book is just published. It's called The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. He joins us from Los Angeles. Welcome to Democracy Now!
Amy and Juan, I'm very happy to be on the show. I was told we'd have about 40, 45 minutes. Now I'm told 20 minutes, so I'm going to have to make my answers very, very, very quick, unfortunately. And I don't think that we're going to be able to get into too much, but I was hoping we'd have a long time
well,
to talk about
it. Well, why don't we start off by you just laying out your case and how you arrived at this argument, decided to write this book?
Well, in my book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, I set forth an airtight legal case against George Bush that proves beyond all reasonable doubt that George Bush took this nation to war under false pretenses on a lie in Iraq, and therefore, under the law, he is guilty of murder for the deaths of over 4,000 young American soldiers in Iraq fighting his war. Not your war or my war or America's war, but his war. Interestingly enough, there have been billions of very harsh, critical words written and said about George Bush, none of which he could possibly care less about. So the words are absolutely meaningless. But up until now, other than words, no one has done anything at all to George Bush. No impeachment, no investigation of him. But this book here, the Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, in it I put together a case against George Bush that could result, it absolutely could result in his being prosecuted for first-degree murder in an American courtroom. I set forth the legal architecture against him, the overwhelming evidence of his guilt, and the jurisdiction to prosecute him. And I say that if justice means anything at all in America, and if we're not going to forget about these 4,000 young American soldiers who are in their cold graves right now as I am talking to you, and it came back from George Bush's war in a box or a jar of ashes, I say we have no choice but to bring murder charges against the son of privilege from Crawford, Texas. I may be sounding presumptuous to you right now, Amy and Juan, but I'm telling you this. I'm going after George Bush. I may not succeed, but I'm not going to be satisfied until I see him in an American courtroom being prosecuted for first-degree murder. In our segment here, I'd like to talk about a couple things. You people are the general, but I'd like to get into some of the evidence against Bush. And I'd also like to talk about how he's conducted himself throughout the entire war, having fun, smiling, laughing, enjoying himself. And you also might be interested in the story behind the story, what's happened with this book right here. For the first time in my 30-year career, the national TV and print media have completely blacked it out. They haven't succeeded. The book just came out. It's already this Sunday going to be on the New York Times bestseller list, but it's all by word of mouth. But those are the three things I'd like to talk about, but whatever else you want to ask me, go ahead.
Well, let's start off just by giving us some of the key points in the evidence, especially in the early days of the war that you lay out in the book, from the National Intelligence Estimate, his lying about that, and so forth.
Okay. Now, there are many, many things in the book, but let's talk about a couple, couple key pieces of evidence. In George Bush's first speech to the nation on Iraq and Hussein, Cincinnati, Ohio, October 7th, 2002, he told the nation that Hussein was a great danger to America, either by his attacking us with his weapons of mass destruction or giving those weapons to some terrorist group to attack us. And he said this attack could happen, quote, on any given day, meaning the threat was imminent. Unfortunately for George Bush, and I don't know how he could get around this at his trial, on October the 1st, 6 days earlier, the CIA sent George Bush its 2002 National Intelligence Estimate, a report from 16 U.S. intelligence agencies. There's a strong sound in my ear here. There's a big rattling sound here. Anyway, he was sent this report representing the consensus opinion of all 16 U.S. intelligence agencies on the issue of whether Hussein was an imminent threat to the security of this country. There's a lot of noise in my left ear, a constant rattle. If you can get rid of it, I'd appreciate it. And, well, it's not stopping. And on page 8 of this 91-page report, page 8 of the, it clearly and unequivocally says, and by the way, what I'm about to tell you, to my knowledge, has never appeared in any national newspaper or magazine in America. It may have, but to my knowledge, I've never heard this said before in any of the major magazines or newspapers of America. Page 8, 91-page report, clearly and unequivocally says that Hussein was not an imminent threat to the security of this country, that he would only be a threat if he feared that America was about to attack him. In other words, he would only be a threat if he was forced to fight in self-defense. So we know, not think, but we know, that when George Bush told the nation on the evening of October the 7th, 2002, Cincinnati, Ohio, that Hussein was an imminent threat to the security of this country, he was telling millions of unsuspecting Americans the exact opposite of what his own CIA was telling him. So if we had nothing else at all, this alone shows us that he took this nation to war on a lie, and therefore all of the killings in Iraq of American soldiers became unlawful killings and therefore murder. But it gets worse. October 4th, 3 days after the October 1st classified top secret report, Bush and his people had the CIA issue an unclassified summary version of the October 1st classified report, so that this report could be issued to the American people and to Congress. And this report came to be known as the White Paper. And in this White Paper, the conclusion of U.S. intelligence that Hussein was not an imminent threat to the security of this country was completely deleted from the White Paper. Every single one of these all-important words were taken out. And the question that I have is, how evil, how perverse, how sick, how criminal can George Bush and his people be? And yet, up to this point, unbelievably, and there's no other word for it, he's gotten by with all of this. I'll touch upon another piece of evidence. January 31st, 2003. By the way, you've all heard of the Downing Street memo, got a lot of attention. If I prosecuted Bush, that would be a very insignificant part of the case because it's ambiguous. This is the Manning memo that seems to have gone over the head of everyone. It's 100 times more important than the Downing Street memo. January 31st, 2003, George Bush and Prime Minister Tony Blair met in the Oval Office with six of their top aides, including Condoleezza Rice, the National Security Advisor for Bush, and Blair's chief foreign policy advisor, David Manning. Now, 2 months later, they go to war because, they say, Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, and they had to go in there and disarm Hussein and these weapons of mass destruction. After the meeting, Manning prepares a 5-page memo stamped extremely sensitive in which he summarizes what was said at the meeting. And Manning writes that Bush and Blair expressed their doubts that any weapons of mass destruction would ever be found in Iraq, although 2 months later they went there because they said they had the weapons and we had to disarm them. But it gets much, much, much worse. Manning wrote that Bush was so worried, so upset over the failure of the UN inspectors to find weapons of mass destruction that he talked about three ways to, quote, provoke a confrontation with Hussein, one of which, Bush said, was to, quote, fly U-2 aircraft, reconnaissance aircraft, over Iraq, falsely painted in United Nations colors. And Bush said, if Hussein fires upon them, this will be a breach of UN revolutions and justify war. So here we have George Bush telling the American people, telling the world, that Hussein was an imminent threat to the security of this country. So we had to strike first in self-defense. But behind closed doors, this very small man was talking about how to provoke Hussein into a war. The very last person in the world that someone acting in self-defense would try to provoke is a person who he's in deathly fear of, the person who's about to kill him. If George Bush actually believed that Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, which was the main reason he went to war, the very thought of provoking Hussein into a war obviously would never, ever, ever have entered his mind. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but what I just told you is extremely powerful evidence of George Bush's guilt.